Let's go to the Lord right now and just ask His blessing on our time, shall we? Father, this morning, I just cry out to You. I just thank You so much for the songs that we have sung already this morning. And Father, we just cry out to You this morning, asking You to speak to our hearts. Lord, I ask that You would help me to stay out of the way. Father, that You would just help me to not say anything that would hinder anyone from coming to know You in a better way. And Lord, I pray that Your words would speak forth, that You would do a mighty work this morning through Your power, through Your strength. We give You honor and glory and thanks this morning. Father, we want to lift up our brother Earl to You this morning as well. Lord, I know he stumbled and fell yesterday at home and seems to be doing okay, but still a little weak in his one leg. And Father, I just pray You'd strengthen him. Lord, he is such a warrior for You. And we look to Him with thanks for all that He does here. And Lord, I pray that You would lift him up and encourage him today. Be with Khaki as well. And Father, we are grateful for Your presence in our midst this morning. We give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I chose this morning for kind of a place to start out of 1 Samuel chapter 7. In talking about memorial stones, I looked through the Old Testament, and I'm certainly not going to be exhaustive this morning as we talk about memorial stones, because there are several places throughout Scripture that talk of memorial stones, use that phrase. And then I'm also going to talk a little bit about what different forms memorials might take, causes to remember. And I'm also going to hopefully leave you with the impression that resting on someone else's memorial stones are not enough. God is calling each one of us to have our own stones, our own markers, that we need to remember what He has done in our lives. And I'm going to share some of mine with you throughout this as well. And hopefully by the end, we realize that not only does God call us to remember, but He has called each one of us to be a living stone. Something that He remembers each time He looks at us. So as we go through this, hopefully some of this unfolds. Let's just read from 1 Samuel chapter 7, starting in verse 3. And it says, "And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, 'If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines.' So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroths, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, 'Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you.' So they gathered at Mizpah and drew the water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, 'We have sinned against the Lord.' And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. The lords of the Philistines in small L. And when the people of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, 'Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that He may save us from the hand of the Philistines.' So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel. And the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and struck them as far went out from Mizpah, as far as below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer. For he said, till now the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel. From Ekron to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. So as we look at this passage, there's one down here. Thank you, though. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're looking out for me. As we think about this passage, the song that we sang, Come Thou Fount, you know, we always hear these old words and rarely understand what they mean. And oftentimes don't even go to the effort to find out what they mean. Because I can't tell you how many times I've sang about my Ebenezer and didn't know what that meant. But Ebenezer was a stone here in 1 Samuel that Samuel set up to recognize what the Lord had done. I mean, do you think it would be a big deal that the Philistines, now remember, these are the people, the Philistines that David stood across from, and all the people, and they looked at these big people and everybody was afraid. And here we are, they're all afraid. And they see these people coming, and Samuel prays. And what does God do? He causes confusion. And he causes the Philistines to basically implode and destroy themselves. And if you read the text, it's not only that they won the battle, but there's peace for a long, long time with Israel, which is unusual in their history. But what Samuel said, he took this stone and he set it there. And he called his name Ebenezer, for he said, till now, the Lord has helped us. This stone is a reminder of what God has done. And when we remember, God has called us to look back at what he has done. And he's called us to be reminded that he is indeed faithful. One of the things in my life that I look back to, and, you know, I'll share some more memorial stones throughout Scripture, but one of the things that I look back to in my life and think of, oftentimes I was a brand new Christian, probably hadn't even been a believer for a year yet at this point, maybe just over a year. And I was a college student at the time, and there was a need that the Lord made known to us, a financial need. As most college students can attest, there's not a lot of extra money usually, right? But I really sensed that this was something that I needed to literally drain my bank account to help with, even though tuition was due in the not-too-distant future. And we were faithful at the time. I don't know why, because it made no sense. But it was one of those situations where God had said, clearly, you need to do this. And yes, it doesn't make sense, but go ahead. And so we did. We wrote a check. We arranged to get it to where it needed to go. And I can't tell you specifically how, because I don't recall the details. But I know that I made that next tuition payment. I know that we didn't go hungry. God provided after that. And I tell you, I remember that to this day. That is one of those markers in my life where God was faithful. And I look back to that and I say, God, you helped me this far, even though it may not have been very long. But he proved himself faithful, thereby causing me to step forward in faith and do again maybe something of similar nature. So as I think about that, as I remember what he has called us to do, it's good for us to be reminded of his faithfulness. It is good for us to be reminded of what God has done. There are just so many passages in the New Testament, too, that talk about God's desire for us to remember. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Or chapter 1, I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 12 through 14. These pages stick together when you're up here, just to let you know. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 says, "Therefore I intend always to remind you of these qualities, that though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right that as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus has made clear to me." So God has called us to be reminded. 2 Peter chapter 3 is another one, same book. The first 6 verses. He's talking about, again, reminding. Now this, the second letter. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that the scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished." So again, reminding us what he has done. God has created the earth. How often do we need to remind ourselves that God is a creator? Those of you who are students, in the public system especially, you don't hear that very often, do you? You're reminded continually when you go to school how all this has happened and all of these things have come together in this pool, and out of that sprang life, and it had nothing to do with God. In the same way as we walk through life, how many times are we stirred up to be pointed toward God as we walk through the world? Very seldom. So we need to be a people set apart, finding those things. You know, as we look to creation, as we look out at creation, does that remind us of God? When you go on the walk through the woods and hear the birds, you know, we had a family over this week, and we live out kind of, it's not really too rural, but we don't have neighbors right next, you know, within 30 feet of the house. And it's kind of quiet out there. And we do have a lot of birds and other animals that like to make noise. And it was just neat to hear the children talk about the different birds that they heard and the noises and the sounds. And as we do that, does that remind you that God created all this? Does that remind you that He made it so that we could enjoy it? He desires that we enjoy His creation. You know, I don't know how many of you like to make things. You know, some of you are woodworkers. Some of you may make things out of metal. Some of you just build stuff. And then there are the kids that tear it all apart, right? But is there any greater joy than spending hours working on something and then watching it be used for its intended purpose? Watching it be used, enjoyed, appreciated by the one who is using it? I really think God sits in heaven and smiles every time we see something new and different in creation and give Him glory and praise for it. He delights in the praise of His people, does He not? And He delights that we remember Him. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 also says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." God has placed in each one of us a gift. Do you remember that? Do you remember that He has put in you a desire to serve Him and to please Him? And really, when we think about all that God has done, the first thing that we always have to remember is that everything comes from Him. I can do nothing to please Him in my own strength, can I? As we look throughout Scripture, Joshua is just full of memorial stones. And I'll just share these with you as a place to for you to go back if you want to look at more memorial stones, more stones of remembrance. Probably one of the most common or most remembered is Joshua chapter 4. And this is where the people of Israel have crossed the Jordan. And as they cross the Jordan, as they're walking through the Jordan, Joshua tells the people, the 12 people, pick up a stone, bring it over, and they set it on the promised land side of the Jordan. And that's in Joshua chapter 4. So look at that later, just realizing that God has called us, He set up specific opportunities for us to remember. And that is set up as a reminder. He says that it's a reminder. And He said to the people of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in times to come, 'What do these stones mean?' then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over. And the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up until for us until we passed over." So again, it's a picture of remembrance. And it's also a picture of discussion, isn't it? He says, when your children ask their fathers, how many times, dads, have you had a child come to you and say, "Dad, what's that?" Especially when they're younger, right? Everything's, "What's that? Why? What's that?" I've got to say, when our son was young, there was something about getting in the car. His jaw would just become unhinged, and stuff would flow. And it was always questions. "What's that? What's that?" And it's hard not to get frustrated in those times. As a parent, I understand and appreciate that. I remember that there were times where I just wanted to say, "Son, would you be quiet? I'd like a little peace and quiet right now as we ride in the car. But those are great teaching opportunities, guys. Those are an opportunity for us to explain what God has done. Do we have things in our lives? You know, that video, the thing that touched me most about that, other than the Arlington Cemetery scenes, were as they panned through, he had little markers all over his desk, didn't he? To remind him of his comrades, to remind him of those he served with, or others that he may have known who served. The little airplane, the pictures. Have we got those things set up around the house of God's faithfulness, of what God has done, so that our children can ask, what are these stones? What are these for? Joshua chapter 7 is another type of stone, memorial stone, not one that's pleasant. This is a story of Achan, and Achan had stolen some things and had lied about it, and this is a picture of God's view of sin, that it needs to be dealt with. And it's also a reminder. It says there that they stoned Achan, and they made a heap of stone that was there until this day. Now, I'm not saying that it was there till today, but it was there until that time that this book was written. A reminder of God's judgment on sin. We also may have some of those markers in our lives where, wow, I didn't do that quite right. Or, man, I really stumbled here. And it's a reminder that not only is God righteous and just, but he wants us to get up and go again. Joshua chapter 8 is shortly after this picture of Achan in the sin of the camp. And it's where Israel has a victory over Ai. The end of Joshua chapter 8. God gives Israel a second chance. Again, they set up stones as a reminder that even though there was sin in the camp, it was dealt with, it was repented of. God again redeemed Israel, or brought them to victory. Joshua chapter 22. Here in another place where an altar is set up as a reminder, as a witness between two people that had dealt faithfully with each other. Sometimes we have that kind of marker as well, where it's a reminder of God's faithfulness in dealing with us in another party or another situation. As we think about all of these, Joshua chapter 24 is another one. Here, Israel is again reaffirming their desire to follow God. Just as we looked in 1 Samuel chapter 7, Samuel started out with a great list of questions. Do you really desire to follow me? Follow the Lord. Is that really your desire? If so, we will set up this reminder. Here again, the people came back to the Lord. They repented. Joshua chapter 24, after the victory and what God has done, they set up a reminder, a memorial stone here. There are others throughout Scripture. Jacob sets up a pillar of stone in Genesis chapter 35, verses 12 through 15. Where it says, the land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you. And I will give the land to your offspring after you. Then God went up from him in this place where he had spoken with him. And Jacob set a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, in a pillar of stone. And he poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. So Jacob called the name of the place where God had spoken to him Bethel. Again, a reminder in Jacob's life that God has spoken to me here. Something that I can go back to and be reminded of. And something that, you know, as we look at memorial stones, what are the purposes of them? The obvious one is to remember. The things that we need to be caused to remember. You know, I would venture to say that for us as men anyway, if we didn't have anniversaries, it would probably go, we'd go a long time before we would acknowledge our wedding, our anniversary, so to speak. It's easy for us to overlook these things. So I think it's one of the mechanisms, one of the ways that God has given us to remind us of different events in our lives, call us back to Him. These reminders cause us to remember that the Lord has helped us to this point. They serve as a marker of God's faithfulness, all that He has done, and give us strength to go forward. You know, I was talking to Keith this morning in the bathroom. Yeah, I go in there sometimes too. And as we were talking, it was such a tremendous prelude to what we were going to talk about. Because his comment was, it seems like we've been here before, and God proved Himself faithful then, and He can do it again. That's what these markers are all about. God is calling us to remember so that we will move forward, so that we don't sit where we're at, helpless, thinking that I can't do this. Because we're right, we can't. But He can. He is faithful. Markers of God's faithfulness in our lives come in many different forms, many different ways. You know, we've looked at stones because that's kind of the title of the message, is Memorial Stones. But there are other reminders, other ways God reminds us. For me, one of the most popular is out of Moses' life. When they crossed the Red Sea, what did Moses do? They wrote a song. They sang a song about God's faithfulness. Now, how many of you have a song that is your song? That's a marker. That is a memorial. It reminds you of something that's happened. And God uses those songs in our lives to remind us. This morning, as we were singing, "Oh Lord, You're Beautiful," one of those songs that took me back. And this is a song that is a reminder for me of God's faithfulness. I was on my way to my first real job interview. I was not yet graduated from college. I was married. Our oldest child was on the way. This was back in 1981. And 82 was, you know, right in that time frame. I don't know if many of you remember that time or not, but it was very similar in that the workplace was very dried up. There weren't many jobs. And I was on a 45-minute drive to the interview, and I had this song. And I won't say it was the 8-track tape player, because it wasn't quite that long ago, but it was a cassette. I had this song going on my way to the interview and a few others. And I tell you, by the time I got to the interview, I had so much energy that wasn't of myself. I went through the interview. I think the interviews lasted about 6 hours. I got done, and it was one of those times in my life when I knew that I was going to get a job offer. There was no doubt in my mind. Was it because of me? No. It was what God had done. And this song reminds me of that. This song takes me back to that, and I put myself in the car on the way there when I hear this song. When we think of these reminders, God has done great things in our lives. We also can think of many different ways that memorial stones have value in our lives. The written word is another one. God has given us His word as a reminder, as a memorial to what has happened before. It gives us the ability to see what has happened, to see His promises, and to cling to those promises. It gives us the power to go forward because we've seen what He's done in the past. God is most interested in our hearts. And altars are another picture of that. But altars are also one of those that seem to be taken and abused in the wrong way. As we look at altars, as we think of altars, we place upon the altar a burnt sacrifice. It's so easy to fix our eyes on the altar and the sacrifice rather than the one who gave us the sacrifice, the one who provided the altar. It's easy for us to misplace what's going on in our heart when it comes to altars. But God uses altars in our lives. He wants us to lay down our lives, does He not? As a living sacrifice for Him. He calls us to lay down our lives as a living sacrifice. But as we look at altars, Noah built an altar when he got off the ark and he sacrificed what God had provided, gave thanks to God for what He had done. And as we think about these things, as we talk about the whole picture of these different aspects of memorial stones, there's the ephod that's talked about in the Old Testament. And there were two different places. Gideon talks about it, where he gathers up the gold and fashions an ephod as a memorial for the victory. And there's also memorial stones that were placed on the ephod, so that as the priest went into the temple, the names of Israel would always be before God. But I think as we look in the New Testament, there are memorials there as well. God has given us very specific things to point us to Him in the New Testament, has He not? The first that comes to my mind is a cross. You know, we have this image of a cross behind that screen back there. The cross is a physical reminder of the suffering that Christ went through to pay the penalty that I deserve to pay. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." Let me ask you, is the cross the power of God to you? Do you know the power of God? Do you know the cross as an image, as a picture to bring you to the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross? That is something that we need to remember, believers. The other part of that is the cross is something that's also a point of stumbling for those who don't know Him. If you don't know Him, the cross is just something that gets in the way. The cross is something that is stumbled over. You know why it's stumbled over? Because He wants you to see it for its true meaning. He's putting it in your way on purpose so that you will see Him. The humble death that He died on that cross for you. And as we think of that, as we remember that, it gives us such cause to stop and give thanks, doesn't it? As believers, that Jesus Christ, for my sake, hung on that cross, paying the penalty that I deserved. Do I remember that enough? And also, He's given us a less tangible remembrance, but the Lord's Supper. He calls us to remember him, the Lord Jesus, in his death and resurrection, every time we participate in the Lord's Supper. These are two reminders in the New Testament that are just jump out at me as things I need to remember. But our own personal memorial stones, I think through these, he's calling each one of us to have these points in our lives where we remember the cross, where we remember something that he has done specifically in our lives. The last example I want to share with you about my life, some of you have heard it before, but I at this point in my life, I was a believer just 6 months. And I don't want you to think that I don't have more recent memorial stones, because I do. But I'm sharing these because they've had such a lasting impression on my life. They have meant so much to me because of what God has done. But I was a believer about 6 months. I was young, energetic, still in college. And I don't know, those of you who've been to college, if you've been on campus and you've heard these open-air preachers, you know, that come and preach fire and brimstone, and they're good at that. I mean, that's what they do, is they spew fire and they spew brimstone. But you don't hear much of God's love, generally speaking. And I was in the audience one day ignoring this guy, and the Lord made me start paying attention to him. And as I listened, I became increasingly frustrated, just annoyed with the way that this man was delivering something that was very precious to me. The gospel at this point in my life was fresh. You know, the freshness of the gospel is something that men and women and children, we never need, we can't lose sight of it. But as we think about the freshness of the gospel, I was sitting there in turmoil. Just first I started praying, Lord, just give me an opportunity to say something. Where does that come from? First of all, what am I going to say? I've only been a believer 6 months. And as I'm sitting there, I'm praying, Lord, just change the direction of what's going on. And as I'm praying, the Lord caused this man to start coughing uncontrollably. I said, wow, that's kind of cool. You know, realize I've not experienced much of God's direct answer to prayer that quickly. But as I'm sitting there thinking about this, I thought, wow, this is kind of neat. God, you really did that. And he's got orange juice there, and he's chugging this orange juice, and he gets 3/4 of the way through the orange juice, and he still can't talk. He's coughing. And I thought, good, at least he's going to go away. And he says, are there any believers out there who'd like to share their testimony? Wow. I said, I hope somebody else stands up, because I'm not God. And I remember the feeling of sheer panic. I remember the feeling of dead silence in my mind. What am I going to do now? Because I know that this was directed right at me. And I said, okay, God, you're going to have to make me stand up, because I'm not doing it. The next thing I know, I'm standing up. You saw it, didn't you, Bernie? And as I'm standing there, I'm crying out to God, what do I say? I have no idea. I've never really shared my testimony in that fashion before at all. I didn't know what I was up against. But as I stood there and he couldn't talk anymore, the Lord just opened my mouth and out came words that to this day I don't remember much. But there are a lot of little details through this that I still remember vividly. And I won't bore you with all of those. other than to say, when God calls you to do something, he gives you the strength to do it. And I would go so far as to say, if you don't want to do it, he'll cause you to do it anyway. If you don't want to be obedient, he'll bring you back to the point of obedience again. If you know that you can't do this, A, you're right, but B, he can, and he will. God takes great joy in showing himself faithful to us, showing himself glorious to a world that doesn't know him. And he calls each one of us to have opportunities in our lives where we can share those things with other people. And you know, it takes something to be able to know that God is moving in your life. First of all, you have to know that you're his. First of all, you have to know that he knows your name. You know, there are several of us who may get a phone call from somebody, but this is going back to before the days of caller ID. And you pick up the phone, you hear their voice, you know who it is. You know them. And they know who your voice, and you know who they are. You have a relationship. Jesus is calling each one of us into that kind of relationship where we know one another's voice. But I'd venture to say that if the President of the United States called me today, I'd probably recognize his voice. Or if I called him, he wouldn't have a clue who I was. But the Lord wants us to be a part of his family so that he knows our voice and we know his and we listen to his voice. The Lord is calling each of us to be living stones. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to the holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The Lord is good. He is faithful. He wants each of us to have that relationship with him, that we can look to those monuments that we've set up, that he has built for us, to take us to him, to remind us of him, to remind us of our need for him. It's nothing that we can do on our own. It's only through him, through strength in Christ. And as we remember that memorial stone that he has placed there with the cross on it, he wants us to remember him, to point others to him, to draw our children to him, not to the monument, but to him. And that's what he's calling. It's not about the memorial stone, but it's about the remembrance that he has helped us thus far and will continue to help us again. Let's pray. Father God, I can't thank you enough for your faithfulness. I can't thank you enough for your holiness. And Lord, as we remember this morning those who have given their lives, tomorrow as we celebrate Memorial Day, Lord, we know that the greater memorial is to realize that you have put in each one of those men and women life and a desire to stand up for what's right and to serve in that capacity. And Father, as we remember what you've done in our lives, Father, as that memorial stone of my life focuses on the cross of Jesus Christ, the death of Christ, Lord, we cling to that. We thank you. We cry out to you our need for you. And Lord, as we sing this closing song, there's someone out there who may not have ever come to know you, someone who doesn't know your voice, or more importantly, they know that you don't know their voice. Lord, I ask that you would speak to them, draw them to yourself, Lord, that they might come up front and want to talk about that. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for all that you've done this morning and continue to do through the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.